We'll get to, in case we missed it, coming up in just a little bit as well. We'll get back to your phone calls also. But you can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find The Fan on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. Watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday. Yeah, so I just find it fascinating and interesting in many different ways what's going on with the gambling. But it is okay when you get hit by a truck to say, I got hit by a truck. And that's what's happening here with the Guardians. And really, the past 24 hours or so, it's all right as a Guardians fan to say, this stinks. This is not something that we ever saw coming. And it also might end up tanking our season. Because without Clase and without Ortiz, you have taken out what was, for a two-month stretch, the best pitcher on the team. And what has been one of the best closers in all of baseball. And since May 1st, had been a 1.10 ERA. He had been absolutely sensational. And I think the context of all this matters into what the Guardians end up doing at the deadline. But I do think it gives you that outlet if, as a Guardians fan, you want to realize and put together, hey, these things happened, but how far do you want to take it? I wouldn't be surprised if more and more Guardians fans want to start calling for Antonetti and Chernoff to go ahead and have their jobs removed. I started doing that a month ago, and the reason why I started doing that is I just think they've been in the job too long. I subscribe to that theory that after 10 years in any company, it's a Theo Epstein-run theory, but in any company after 10 years, your message is running stale, you're not doing things the same way, and it's not getting through the same way that it used to. And I do feel like we've hit that point with Antonetti and Chernoff. Do I respect what they do? Yes, I do. Do they bother the living daylights out of me when it comes to calling up players? Of course. But I look at this the same way that many people look at the Quinshon Judkins situation here with the Browns. It's pretty simple. Should Andrew Berry be held responsible for Quinshon Judkins ending up with a domestic violence, alleged domestic violence arrest? Well, it happened under his watch. It sounds unfair, right? Quinshon never had any other priors and any other stop. I mean, at some point, Andrew Berry can't be, he's not a magic eight ball. He can't see what's coming ahead of time. He can't give any predictive analysis that way. If the guy's got no track record, well, how am I supposed to punish him, right? But just like a Fortune 500 CEO, if it happens under your watch, it happens under your watch. You know, yes, I do think it's a product of being the Guardians and it being the Guardians where you don't pay your players as much. As to why someone like Emmanuel Clase and Ortiz, who's still on his rookie contract in baseball, would think to themselves, yeah, maybe I can get a couple more dollars here and there. Someone like Emmanuel Clase, who thinks he should be making $20 million a year, probably does think to himself, yeah, they're cheating me out every single season, and the reason why they're cheating me out is pretty obvious. They gave me Miles Straw's contract when I deserved something much better than that, but they knew that I was from a country that didn't have, that I was from a not great country as far as resources are concerned in this discussion, and they gave me a pennies on the dollar deal, and I took it because I wanted generational wealth. It's not the first time the Guardians have done that type of move. They've always been in on getting some of the Latin-born players into the, hey, we'll give you 40 cents of the dollar, 30 cents of the dollar, but you'll never have to think about money again deal. Okay. Hey, some people take it, some people don't. Yeah, it's a thing. We've seen countless articles about the Guardians doing that practice, but then you can't turn around and wonder why someone like Emmanuel Clase would do such a thing when he feels like he's being cheated financially. That's all. It's not much deeper than that. It's just a theory I have. Maybe Emmanuel Clase is just a greedy person and wanted as much money as he possibly could and thought this was the scheme to get there. I don't know. I doubt it. I would bet he probably felt like he wasn't compensated to the point that he should be, and that's probably where he was trying to get every last hour. I would tell him it's stupid. I would tell him, you would tell him, it's about as dumb of a thing as you can do. But he'll have to live with the repercussions of that now. I want to know how deep this goes. I want to know your thoughts, though. 216-474-0092. Tom in Solon up next on The Fan. What's up, Tom?
How are you doing? Good?
Hey, Tom. I'm good. How's it going today?
Oh, good. Solon's nice and hot, so you know when you go home.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I mowed my lawn yesterday, so I'm okay now, but I sweated more than I think I've ever sweated my life out there.
Oh yeah, I gave up this year. I'm paying somebody. I'm too tired and too old, and too persistently bothered by the Browns and the Indians.
That's okay.
To worry about. But here's, I think your theory is sound. I don't think that these are the only two players on the Indians that are doing such things. And are the Guardians, I'm sorry. And it kind of makes sense to me because with that guy crying in the end because he pitched bad, I think he was probably very disenchanted with himself that he wasn't as good as he thought to pull it off after giving up what he gave up. And that happens a lot. And the other thing is, you know, Sanders, was you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. I mean, if the kid is, I know that's how Stefanski's going to have to save his job, by making one of these two young quarterbacks better than they are. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do to that kid. It might leave a permanent mark on him that he never recovers. Why give somebody a complex if they don't need it?
Okay. Good point. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you. And I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Yeah, I just don't believe that it's the only two there. And this is not Hector Gomez reports or anything like this. It's you. Ask Jonathan Peterlin what he thinks, okay? Ask me what I think. I hate third person. Ask me what I think and whether these are the only two rogue players to go ahead and do this. And I just have a hard time thinking that's the case. We'll find out. Maybe we won't. I would hope we'd find out if anybody else was actually in on the business that seems like this is a little syndicate that they were trying to run here involving three different states and involving all sorts of money. I'd hope we'd find out. But, like, I just common sense. Have it speak to you right now. Do you feel like in a team of 26 players on the roster, you have a 40-man roster in general, but 26 players in any given baseball day, and a whole pitching staff, 13, sometimes 14 players on the pitching staff, do you feel like only Ortiz and Clase were the ones involved in this? Like, probably, there's probably more. There's probably a name or two that we don't know of yet that will come out. Maybe it never will. But again, I just, common sense tells me that if multiple people were able to think this was a good idea, then it was probably the common theme throughout the clubhouse. I mean, I just think that's a life thing in general. And it might sound incredibly stupid if you take just a couple steps back, but the moment one of them, and I don't know which one was the head of the snake, but the moment one of them started cashing $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 wins and helping out their buddies or just helping out their pocketbook, whatever it is, by throwing a meaningless ball one to start off a third inning, then the others probably thought it was a good idea too. They just didn't take enough of a big picture view about how much money they're potentially costing themselves and just how serious of a problem this is and how serious baseball takes this. Lewis and Shaker, what's up, man?
Oh, JP, I don't know. I don't even know where to start, man. I mean, it's an addiction, man. Everybody knows it's an addiction, man. And JP, I'm going to be honest with you, man. There's a reason why I bet on horse racing five times a year, because I used to be addicted, man. I lost my job betting on horse racing, man, and I had to get it under control. So that's why, you know, when the Triple Crown comes around and the Breeders' Cup, I tell my girlfriend,
oh,
I'm going to bet it.
Lewis, now I'm going to feel bad every time I talk to you for horse tips. I'm going to be like, no, am I feeding the addiction that cost you your job, man? Because you know I love the ponies. You know I love the ponies, Lewis. You know
I
do.
I know, JP. I know
you love them. I don't want to be that enabler for you now. I don't want to be that guy for you.
JP, don't worry. Like I said, I only bet five times a year. Other than that, there's a big horse race coming up this weekend. I'm going to look at it, but I'm not going to bet it. And you know, as far as, you know, Class A and M, it's an addiction, man. It's an easy way. Every addict.
Yeah, but I don't think it is. I don't think it is in this instance, though. I really don't. Only because this isn't, in my opinion, so you know it because you're a horse racing gambler, and so you know, like, when you make a, even though you've done all the research on it and you figured everything out, hell, you probably could have had tips from the stalls trying to figure out what exactly is going on, but that horse mm-hmm. still has to run that race, and you still have to finish that thing out, and you're sweating it. You're still sweating. You get a tip a time or two, and I lived at Hawthorne Racetrack as a teenager, okay? There's enough times I got tips on certain things where I'm like, I feel really right. good that I know how this outcome is going to go. But you still sweat it out because there still is a gambling element to it. The part of that escapes me from this being gambling, and they'll get punished like it's gambling, okay? But the part that escapes me is that this wasn't a bet as to whether or not they would be able to throw a ball or a strike. Like they were going to be able to throw the ball. Like, they were winning this bet. There was no part of this that was them sweating it out.
Exactly. It's gambling something that you have control over, and you can make an easy buck real quick.
Yeah, I mean, this would be like me gambling right now. If I'm gonna make it to 7 o'clock, it's like, yeah, I'm here, I'm doing the show. It's not like nothing else is happening but me doing this show until 7 o'clock today.
Okay, so and what if you don't make it? What if you get?
I'd have to pass out and die. Okay, maybe the better way of doing this would be. Am I betting on me standing up from the chair when the break is done? It's like I got full control over that. It's not a bet anymore when it comes to that.
I see your point, but it's.
I'm betting with suckers. If you want to call it a bet, I'm betting with the sucker at the poker table is what I'm doing there. Like, I'm just betting with idiots. Like, if Jake Murren next to me, Lewis, wanted to be like, hey, I'll take that action that you won't stand up when the segment ends. Like, sure. But, you know, I look at Jake Murren in that instance, and he's a smart guy, but I'm like, you're just an idiot. I'm sorry. Like, you're dumb. You're going to lose that bet. That's how Ortiz and Class A looked at this. I just throw a ball to start off the first inning. There's no chance they're throwing a strike. Like, that's as easy of a win as me standing up from this chair.
So if you have that much control over what you're done. They're done, man. They're done.
I think they will be because baseball looks so poorly on this.
And yesterday we were immediately affected. We had a 2-run lead in the ninth inning or something like that, and we blew it.
And then in came Cade Smith, who had been pretty good, but just absolutely bad last night. All right, Lewis, I appreciate you, man.
All right, my good man.
All right, good stuff. Sean in Houston, let's squeeze you in here. What's up, Sean?
Look, is there any way that these guys were like blackmailed into this, or I mean, is there even hope of that with all the, I mean, like, you got these guys having to pay back, you know, people from when they're in high school, college. Obviously these guys have been in the pros for a couple years, but these aren't vets, right? So is there any way that they were like, hey, like, you need to do this because we got something on you? And then the other thing is, like, they just didn't screw us for this year, man. If they're out, that's our farm system, not in totality, but you're missing 2 to 3 top 10 guys in a farm system from these guys doing that. And it's, I mean, you don't come back from, like, not even 3 misses, but 3 non-picks. They're just gone in a trade.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard because, I mean, think about it. If you trade Class A, if you paired him with Kwan, for instance, you know the haul that the Dodgers would have given for a Class A Kwan haul? I mean, it would have been unreal.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it
would just have even been a just, Class A haul in general. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, Philly, Dodgers, man, I mean, there were people that we could have just been like, guys, I know we got rid of them, but let's see what we're going to do. Now I'm ready to pay attention again because they're coming up soon. Somebody, right? And then the other part is, I mean, come on, MLB. I know you hear us, Rob, but just, it was the first pitch. It wasn't like they were losing the game. Like, be a little gentle if you're out there. Maybe we can bribe Bryce to go talk to him with the bat again, you know? But all right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I think we all know how that's going. They have to make an example out of these guys. They have to. You know that. I know that. There's no leniency. Maybe down the road, like 20 years from now, if this happened, there'd be some leniency and it'd be like a year suspension or something. But it just, the baseball can't, they can't be lenient when it comes to gambling. They never have been, and they certainly can't be now, and especially as it's infiltrated the prop bet world. As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows in The Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take The Fan with you wherever you go. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. In case we missed it, next, as I stand up and take my money from Jake Murren right here on The Fan.